chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. All right, welcome in, guys. Farzine Vesugian here with you for a late edition of the Chief Zone podcast. We've been doing a lot of these late shows lately, but hey, that's just the way things work out. Welcome in. My name is Farzine Vesugian. Appreciate you guys downloading and listening to this episode of the Chief Zone. For those of you staying up late, especially if you're on the East Coast or Central Time Zone area and you're watching live, big thanks to all of you guys. It's going to be a shorter show today, but we have breaking news to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, the Kansas City Chiefs have signed Hollywood Brown. Yes. Yes, Hollywood Brown, Marquise Hollywood Brown, coming to Kansas City on really a massive bargain deal. It is a one-year deal worth $7 million, can go up to $11 million. My God, how the hell did Brett Veach pull that one off? Goodness. Brett Veach is a boss. This guy is a boss. Boy, we got a lot to discuss. This podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. You guys can go get your tickets from SeatGeek. Royals baseball is coming up. NCAA tournament coming up. NBA hockey season still going on. And if you're a new customer, you can use my promo code Farzine. Get $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com. Enter the promo code Farzine if you're a first-time customer of SeatGeek, and you will save $20 off your first purchase. Wow. I see a lot of you guys in the chat right now. Man, we got a lot of things to discuss here. A lot to get into here. Marquise Brown coming to Kansas City. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. This is awesome. Oh, a little reminder. The Chiefs led the NFL in drops last year, and they won the Super Bowl. Doing so back-to-back years. Not the drops, the Super Bowl winning part. That they did back-to-back years. So if the Chiefs can go to the Super Bowl with all these issues taking care of the football with turnovers and drops, imagine an improved Chiefs offense. This is a massive get for the Chiefs. I mean, this is pretty huge. So the way it all works out right now, when you look at the Chiefs offense, you've got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. Isaiah Pacheco is your running back. And at the moment, you don't have anything behind Isaiah Pacheco. So the Chiefs do need to work on that. But they have Travis Kelce. They have Rashi Rice. And now they have Hollywood Brown. Oh, man, that just puts a big smile on my face. Rashi Rice now getting a full offseason to work with the Chiefs, get acclimated, improve on some of his fumbles, his ball security there. And then you have Hollywood Brown coming to the Chiefs. And Travis Kelce's your tight end. And let me say this about Travis Kelce. I know he's getting older. And I know in the regular season wasn't his best, but he still had better numbers than most tight ends out there. And that week 18 game where he got off, didn't play. Yeah, I wanted him to get the 16 yards just as much as anybody, but not chasing the 1,000 yards, trying to do so for an eighth straight season, that paid dividends for the Chiefs offense. That was huge because I think that impacted Travis Kelce's play in the postseason. He had a phenomenal postseason. Yeah, he had a very quiet first half in the Super Bowl, but he went off in the second half, more than 90 yards in the second half. He dominated the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game. And now you can take some pressure off of Travis Kelce because
It's not just Travis Kelce controlling the middle of the field. You got Rashee Rice on one side. You got Hollywood Brown on the other side. And I don't know what the Chiefs have planned for some of their other guys on the team right now. I know a lot of people, I keep saying this, they're still holding out hope that Justin Ross could maybe still be that guy. Could Kadarius Toney rebound and play better? Because if Kadarius Toney doesn't drop the football, man, he's a dangerous receiver. But he's got to hold on to the football. But as at the moment, he's not priority one, two, or three. You have a couple of other guys ahead of you right now. So Kadarius Toney, at best, is going to be a depth guy for the Chiefs. The way I'm looking at this Chiefs offense right now, man, this might be on paper, which, again, obviously games are not won on paper. This is the best-looking Chiefs offense you have since the 2018 team. And that was Patrick Mahomes' first year starting in the NFL. You had Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce. You had LeSean McCoy at running back. LeSean McCoy was a year after. Kareem Hunt was actually the running back for a majority of the season. We all know what happened then. But man, I really love this offense. And it is March the 14th right now. So this is a Chiefs offense. Yeah, I see all of you guys in the chat right now. You guys are all just as excited as I am, man. I can't stop smiling. This right now, this Chiefs offense is looking good. And oh, by the way, let me remind you, I've already said it on this podcast. We're not even 7 minutes in, but I'm still going to bring it up. This Chiefs team won the Super Bowl last year with all the drop issues, the lack of ball security. This team still won the Super Bowl. And now you have Rashee Rice, who's got a year of experience under his belt. You can only hope that's only going to help him improve, along with also, you know, focus and all the other stuff he might be doing this offseason. You have Hollywood Brown coming into the fold. I mean, this is a Chiefs offense right now that's looking really good already on March the 14th. Going into the 2024 season. And there's still work left to be done. There's still some things the Chiefs have got to do. And by the way, I'm seeing a lot of you guys' question right now. Where was that question? I lost it. I'm sorry, but somebody was asking what happens with Sky Moore. I apologize. I don't know who that was that asked that question, but I just completely lost it here in the chat here. It's a really good question. What happens to Sky Moore? What happens to Kadarius Toney? What happens to Justin Ross? How many of those guys are going to still be around? Mecole Hardman's still a young guy. The guy can do some damage if he also takes care of the football. The problem with the Chiefs receivers last year, and again, the Chiefs receivers last year, those guys all have great skill sets. I think MVS has a great skill set. I think Mecole Hardman has a great skill set. Both guys who caught touchdowns in the Super Bowl, obviously Mecole Hardman had the walk-off in overtime, but overall body of work, those guys just did not take care of the football. Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore. These are guys who can seriously do damage to an opposing defense. So if you have guys who take care of the football, yeah, you can do a lot of damage. And by the way, Charlie, you were the one that asked about that. Okay, I apologize. The chat right now is just insane. I can't keep up with it. This is already one of the most viewed live streams we've had this offseason. So I'm trying to keep up with the comments. So my apologies here. It's just chaos right now. By the way, I'm seeing a lot of Ravens fans comment on this because Hollywood Brown was drafted by the Ravens. Oh, by the way, for those wondering why they call him Hollywood, he is from Hollywood, Florida, not Hollywood, California, Hollywood, Florida. For the longest time, there's a wrestler by the name of Dolph Ziggler. He's from Hollywood, Florida. That was my very first time knowing that there was a Hollywood in Florida. So that's why his nickname is Hollywood, Florida, Hollywood Brown, for those who didn't know. Okay, so let's look at Hollywood Brown's drop rate. In 2019, he was targeted 65 times, dropped the ball 3 times. In 2020, was targeted 95 times, dropped it 7 times. In 2021, his last year with the Ravens, he had 139 targets. He was targeted 139 times, and he committed 6 drops. Listen, man, 139 targets and 6 drops. I can't really hate on that. I mean, is that a lot? 6? Yeah, sure. But when you're being targeted that much, come on. 2022, he joined the Arizona Cardinals. In fact, if I recall correctly, he was traded on draft day when the draft was in Vegas that year. So in his first year with the Cardinals, 103 targets, 3 drops. And then this past year, 94 targets and 3 drops. So he's had 3 drops each of the last 2 years. And by the way, in the chat, Jim says he's a big upgrade from MVS. I mean, if he makes all those, it reaches all those incentives, you're essentially paying him the same amount as you would for MVS, but you're getting a much better player, much more explosive player too. So this is pretty interesting. Okay, a lot of you guys are asking about L'Jarius Sneed and Mike Williams. We will get into L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed actually just tweeted moments ago, I don't like that tweet. I don't like. Listen, I try not to react to tweets, but I'll get into Sneed later, because we cannot have this discussion and omit the discussion of, okay, what happens with L'Jarius Sneed next? We have to get into that 100%. But for those asking about Mike Williams, does he have a chance to come to Kansas City? My guess is probably not. I'm just not sure exactly if the Chiefs have the cap room for that at this point. Chiefs are still kind of in a sticky situation with the cap. It's not the best. You can still keep L'Jarius Sneed, because keep in mind, I don't know what the exact number is going to be. So you're going to have roughly $8 to $7 million in cap room. I'm sure the exact number will be available tomorrow morning, and I'll post that as soon as that becomes available. But that's how much cap room you'll have left. And I don't know what Mike Williams is going to be demanding. Listen, Keenan Allen, less than an hour before the Hollywood Brown signing, Keenan Allen got traded to the Bears for a 4th round pick. I mean, I guarantee you there's a team out there that would have been willing to give up a 2nd round pick for Keenan Allen. So it's always hard to say who's going to demand what their prices are, whether they're free agents or if it's happening through a trade. It's always very interesting. So I'm not exactly sure what's happening. Okay, let's get into L'Jarius Sneed, because a lot of you guys are asking me. I know I kind of left you guys on a bit of a cliffhanger here. So let's get right into that. L'Jarius Sneed did tweet moments ago. So that is his tweet. That's his tweet right there. I don't know what that means. By the way, what is that emoji on the left? Those 2 emojis. I mean, the for those of you on the podcast version, it's 2 emojis. It looks like, it looks like, a person whose hands are on the table waiting for something to happen, ... upside down emoji. That's it. He tweeted that at 10:25 Central Time. I'm not exactly sure what to make of that. I'm not the biggest fan of that tweet. Not exactly thrilled about that one, because I'm telling you right now, if the Chiefs do keep Sneed, you essentially got back your entire defense. Willie Gay, yeah, he went on to New Orleans, and I think Willie Gay is great at stopping the run, but I think he's replaceable. I think Leo Chenal can fill in for Willie Gay this year in 2024, get his snaps. I think you essentially got your defense back. If you can bring back L'Jarius Sneed and keep improving this offense, 2 years ago was a rebuilding year. Last year was a down year, and the Chiefs won the Super Bowl both of those years. A lot of you guys are also asking about Xavier Worthy. Yeah, my God. If you get Xavier Worthy on this team, good luck. Good luck to all of the 31 other defenses in the NFL. I mean, obviously not all of them are going to play the Chiefs, but the ones that will play the Chiefs, good luck. Deb's asking, how much would he make if he played on the franchise tag? It'd be very, very close to $20 million. I think the exact number is close to $19.8 million. And by the way, that's already included in the salary cap. So the Chiefs can still... I mean, here's what the Chiefs could do. They could maybe do something similar with the Chris Jones signing, where the first deal is pretty light, where L'Jarius Sneed could make $7, $8, maybe $9, $10 million, and then you would free up more cap room for this offseason, and that would allow you to spend more money this offseason, and L'Jarius Sneed would make a hell of a lot more money next year and the year after. That's actually how Juwan Taylor's contract works right now. If you guys look at his cap number last year, and I don't have it in front of me, but I think last year's cap hit for cap number, or rather for Juwan Taylor, was around $7 or $8 million. And then this year and next year, it's like 24 some million dollars. So the Chiefs could maybe do something similar. Now, they are going to be in a bad salary cap bind the next couple of years, but shit, man, if you can three-peat, I'm okay with and I said this on the podcast earlier this week, I'm okay with a salary cap struggle for a couple of years. Tom Brady went 10 years in between Super Bowl wins at one point in his career, not for the same reasons. The Chiefs, they might have a bit of a Super Bowl drought, if you will, maybe even an AFC championship drought, because they're not able to spend as much. And I'm okay with them doing with that happening for a couple of years. We all love the Chiefs constantly going to AFC championship games with Mahomes. They've never missed the AFC title game with Mahomes, but we also know, realistically speaking, that's going to end at some point. So if it happens in 2025, you can't win them all. So if you three-peat this year, something that's never been done before, I don't know, man. I'm not going to lose any sleep if the Chiefs don't have as successful of a season for a few years after that. I mean, the salary cap, it's going to be... Yeah, see, Aaron's saying I'm fine with that if a three-peat happens. Okay, a lot of you guys are also talking about the left tackle. I do agree. The left tackle spot, that is right now priority number one if you're the Chiefs. Here's what I would like to see the Chiefs do in the draft, okay? Let's say you don't find an offensive tackle in free agency. If you go to the draft, you can probably find your left tackle in one of the first two rounds. I've put out the name Patrick Paul out there. I think Patrick Paul would be a great left tackle for the Chiefs from Houston. Three-year starter. Very good offensive tackle and a lot of starting experience. That's always good entering the NFL. A lot of mock drafts see him being available by the time the Chiefs are on the board, number 64. So I like Patrick Paul. That's the name I've been shouting out for a few weeks now. Xavier Worthy, a lot of mock drafts, those simulated mock drafts, have him available, number 64. But I have a feeling with the 40 time and all the hype he's getting, I don't think he's going to go. I don't think he's going to be available that late in the second round. No, I think he's going to be late first round, early second round, which is, you know, the zone where the Chiefs are in for the NFL draft. So I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen in the draft. Here's my draft wish list. Find your offensive tackle within the first two rounds. Draft two, maybe three wide receivers. And then just get some depth on your football team. Obviously, you need a running back. I don't know what the Chiefs have planned for the running back position behind Isaiah Pacheco. A lot of people think Jerick McKinnon will come back. LaMichael Pirine, I mean, he looked pretty good in the preseason a couple of years ago. Didn't Eric, or actually, not a couple of years ago, last year, I should say. Didn't Eric Prince also had a good preseason last year as well? So those are guys that, you know, I think the Chiefs are going to be thinking about and trying to keep as part of this 53-man roster. So we'll see what they want to do with that. Yeah, I don't want them drafting a running back early. That would be, I don't know. I just think, I mean, you have Isaiah Pacheco. I do think you need a viable number two, because as much as I like Isaiah Pacheco, the guy just loves to collide with defensive players, which is not really good. Kind of scares you with the injuries and all of that. And he's had a couple of those in his short time in the NFL. So you got to go find a viable number two, whether it's Jerick McKinnon, whether it's somebody from the draft. And by the way, the Chiefs did use their running backs a lot last year. Maybe they didn't use McKinnon as much as we would all have liked to have seen. But remember that Chicago Bears game, famously known as the Taylor Swift debut for the Kansas City Chiefs? In that Chicago Bears game, Chiefs-Bears game, all three running backs, Edwards, Helaire, Pacheco, and McKinnon, all scored touchdowns in that game. So the Chiefs are not afraid to use all of their running backs at the same time. I mean, they'll definitely utilize whoever they have. I know we talk so much about the passing game and all that stuff Andy Reid does, but Andy Reid's got a good knack for running backs. You look at what he had in Philadelphia with LeSean McCoy, Brian Westbrook. He comes to Kansas City and he turns Jamaal Charles into a better running back. Kareem Hunt in his short time with the Chiefs was a very good running back. You saw Spencer Ware filling in for Jamaal Charles played well, I thought, and thought what he was one of the better pass catching running backs in the NFL in 2015 and 2016. And I think in a little bit of 2017 as well. And then in, 2017 was Kareem Hunt. I take that back. Isaiah Pacheco, who's obviously done well for a couple of years. So I'm not exactly sure, what's going to happen with the running back position behind Pacheco. But in terms of your starters, I think you have a very good idea who 10 of your 11 starters are going to be on offense next year. The one wide open spot is your left tackle spot. And I saw someone mention Wanya Morris, who played a little bit, had some good moments, had some bad moments as well. You know, I mentioned this on Wednesday's podcast. Lucas Niang, I really liked in 2021. I thought Lucas Niang was a great right tackle for the Chiefs. Remember that? You had three rookies starting. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Lucas Niang. Lucas Niang was drafted in 2020, but he opted out that season because of the pandemic. And so his actual rookie year was 2021. And I thought he looked good up until his injury. And we haven't seen much of Lucas Niang since then. So I don't know if Lucas Niang and the Chiefs like the idea of playing left tackle instead of right, because the Chiefs have Juwan Taylor locked in there, especially with that hefty contract. So I don't know. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do at left tackle. They've got a couple of guys on the roster right now that they can experiment with. They could also draft somebody. Maybe they sign someone in free agency and surprise us with another team-friendly deal. I know Tyron Smith from the Cowboys. He's a great left tackle, but yeah, he does deal with a lot of injuries. So, if the Chiefs can, get him to a very friendly deal, I think he's worth it. I know a lot of people, are kind of scared of that idea because of his injuries, but I'm not opposed to it. I think that'd be very good. In fact, overall, I love the look of this Chiefs team going into 2024. I really do. You got two good wide receivers, Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown. And then Travis Kelce's your tight end. Isaiah Pacheco's your running back. Here's the thing. When you have all of these great skill position players, you add in a guy like Hollywood Brown, it does take the pressure off everybody a little bit. Takes the load off Pacheco a little bit. Takes the load off Kelce a little bit. And you got to help Travis Kelce, because we all know he isn't getting any younger. And by the way, Marquise Brown, he's 26 years old. When is his birthday? Okay, so he turns 27 in the first week of June, June the 4th. So still a young guy who, you know, not young, but that's not old either. That's a good position. That's a good age to try to get into your prime and start doing big things. Here's the thing with Hollywood Brown. He's never really had a viable quarterback. Yeah, Lamar Jackson has two MVPs, but it's not because he was some passing threat those 2 years he won the MVP award. One of those years, yeah, Hollywood Brown was with Lamar Jackson. But we all know, I mean, what are they known for in Baltimore? Running. With their running back, with their quarterback, they're a run-heavy football team. And that hasn't translated to a lot of success in the playoffs. It's great in the regular season. It's funny because Fox Sports put out a graphic comparing the Chiefs to the Ravens, and they're asking, who do you like better? And a lot of people were joking in the comments saying that they like the Ravens in the regular season, but the Chiefs in the postseason, which I got a kick out of that. But now with Marquise Brown joining the Chiefs, you got to think, I mean, you have to assume that Marquise Brown, this is the best situation he's ever been a part of. Why do you think he's taking less money to come to Kansas City? Because he probably could have got a lot more money elsewhere. This is someone who wants to win a ring, has not been in the best situations. Yeah, the Ravens are a playoff team, but what do the Ravens do beyond making the playoffs? Not much. What's Lamar Jackson's playoff record? What, like 2-5? Yeah, I like Derrick Henry a lot. I know he's going to be a great running back for them. But I also wonder, are they going to be relying on Derrick Henry maybe too much? Not that Derrick Henry is not capable of destroying a defense all by himself. The guy's a monster. But I just wonder if he's going to be carrying that Ravens team. And I don't know if you can do that in the playoffs. By the way, I love Eric Stone Street's tweet. You guys all know Eric Stone Street, K-State grad, big Chiefs fan. Obviously, was part of Modern Family. I've never seen that show. My mom is a huge fan of the show. I love how he words this question, or this tweet rather. Honest question: when will all the wannabe dipshit GMs shut up about Veach and his staff's process? I don't know why, like, I see so many Chiefs fans do this. Why do people question Brett Veach year after year? Because here's what happens when the legal tampering period, when that opens up, so many people sign left and right, and everyone's like, man, why isn't Brett Veach doing any? Slow down. The Super Bowl is not won on March the 12th, 13th, 14th. It's not. You can figure out who's got a good chance of going to the Super Bowl with some of these signings for sure. But right now, the Chiefs they've got to be front runners. I'm very interested in seeing who the betting favorites are going to be tomorrow morning if it's not updated by now. The Chiefs have to be the favorites, the betting favorites, to go back to the Super Bowl. By the way, for those coming in late, I looked at Hollywood Brown's drops. He's had 3 drops each of the last 2 years. It's not bad. He was targeted 103 times in 2022 and 94 times last year. So 6 drops each of the last 2 years, very close to 200 targets. 6 drops out of 200 targets during his time in Arizona. That's not bad at all. I'll take that. Is he going to drop the ball this year? Yes. I know people don't like to hear that, but guess what? Drops happen on all 32 teams, man. They all do. I've said for a while, you know, the Bengals, and I don't know what their wide receiver room is going to look like in 2024 with Tyler Boyd being available and T. Higgins sounds like he wants out. I've been saying he's going to stay, but I'm not really confident with that prediction anymore. T. Higgins has dropped the ball a lot. He makes up for it with his production. Tyler Boyd dropped what should have been a game-winning touchdown pass against the Houston Texans. In fact, I think against the Chiefs, the first time Burrow and Mahomes went head-to-head, Tyler Boyd dropped a wide-open touchdown against Kansas City. So drops, and I've always said that's the deepest team in the NFL when it comes to a wide receiver core, them and San Francisco. I do think now the Chiefs can make a run for that title. Not that that's an actual title, but you get what I mean. I'm telling you right now, if the Chiefs choose Xavier Worthy in the first round over an offensive tackle, I wouldn't be angry about it and be a little concerned for Patrick's blind side. But man, you're just giving Patrick Mahomes another weapon. You're giving Patrick Mahomes another receiver to work with. And I think then you have to consider the Chiefs one of the best teams in the NFL when it comes to their wide receiver room. You know what I like about Brett Veach, by the way, going back to that comment about Eric Stonestreet made? What happened after Super Bowl 55? Brett Veach recognized what happened in Super Bowl 55, and he immediately revamped that entire offensive line. Got Orlando Brown, didn't pan out the way we all wished it would. Went out there and drafted Creed Humphrey in the second round, Trey Smith in the sixth round. Little did we know we were getting first round quality players with those two guys. Signed Joe Tooney from the Patriots. He revamped that entire offensive line in one offseason, and Patrick Mahomes had better protection to work with. It was kind of a slow start that year. That was a 3-4 start where Mahomes was leading the NFL in interceptions the first seven games, but they picked it up. And Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, that's the best center and right guard in the NFL, probably. Joe Tooney, considered one of the best left guards, maybe the best interior offensive line in the NFL right now. So right now, when you look at the left tackle spot, that is wide open. That does become priority number one. Could they get Mike Williams for a cheap deal? Maybe. By the way, let me see if over the cap has updated the Chiefs cap situation yet. They have not. It is still at $15.3 million. I assume that will change tomorrow morning, but it should be somewhere between $7 to $8 million in terms of cap space, for those of you who keep asking that. So folks, I'm excited. Now, I'll go back to L'Jarius Sneed for those again who are coming in late. That is the one I'm a little worried about. What do the Chiefs do with L'Jarius Sneed? You still have the cap room to keep him, but can you get him to a deal very similar to Chris Jones, where the first year is light on the cap number, and then you pay him more second year, third year, and fourth year? Make that guaranteed. Because I think that's what L'Jarius Sneed wants. He wants to stay. He said that in an interview a couple of days ago. So if the Chiefs can find a way to re-sign Sneed rather than have him go through the whole franchise tag drama, oh boy, you got essentially your entire defense back and you're improving your offense. That is bad news for the 31 other teams. Get those three-peat predictions in. Get your bets in on DraftKings or wherever it is you place your bets, because that number with the plus sign next to it, that number is going to go down, meaning the Chiefs are improving their odds of winning the Super Bowl 100%. I'm excited. Get the three-peat banner going, because this move right here definitely helps Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense. All right, guys, it's late on a Thursday. I appreciate all of you in the chat who interacted with me on Facebook and on YouTube. By the way, for those of you who are watching on Facebook, if you guys would, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can actually see it below right here, youtube.com/thechiefszone. We're going to start putting more video content on the YouTube channel. So we definitely need a certain volume number of followers, so that way the YouTube content can get noticed as well. So please make sure you guys are subscribed to the YouTube channel. And we'll still be doing content on Facebook. That's not going away. So, if you guys can make sure you're following both, that would be greatly appreciated. All right, guys, I'm Farzin Vasugian. A nice bonus episode of the Chiefs Zone podcast. It's been a great week for the Kansas City Chiefs, and there's still more they need to do. And I trust that Brett Veach is going to continue to make it all happen. All right, guys. Appreciate you guys watching live. And for those who downloaded and listened to this episode on Apple or Spotify, I appreciate you guys as well. I'm out. Talk to you all tomorrow for the Red Friday live chat. Take care.